Hello, everyone. Welcome to the June 29th, 2021 Pony Development Sync Call. My name is Joe McElvain. I'll be hosting today. If others on the call would like to quickly throw out their names so people can recognize them on the recording, that'd be great.
I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
Okay, Brad or Borg, when do you have to go?
I'm Brett Davis.
Hi, I'm Borg.
Great. Hello, everyone, and welcome. So, looking through the agenda here today, we do have an item on the agenda from the RFC's repo, an issue ticket, but that was actually a comment that was added during the last sync call. So, I think we'll skip that one and move on to the Pony C repo. Let's look at issue ticket 3770 in the Pony C repo. That is also a comment saying we discussed it in the sync call and summarizing the results. So let's go to 3765 in the Pony C repo. And that is also a post sync comment. So let's go to 2150 in the Pony C repo.
I might have messed up the dates for the
week. Anything that happened on the day of a sync always gets caught like that. It's not an issue. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's after. And sometimes people are still editing their comments after the sync call and things like that. So it can be kind of hard to discuss while also typing. So 2150 default trait methods do not have access to imports from their declaring file. This is a real nasty one. I mean, just in the terms of like really breaking your expectations, not a runtime bug, but definitely a compile time issue that surprises people. This is just a comment from Borja saying, as raised today on Zulip, this bug also happens with interfaces.
At some point in the past, it did not happen with interfaces.
That would be surprising to me.
So, well, it could be a different variation. We found this bug, or a variation of it, when Wallaroo was sentenced years ago. And somewhere there's a ticket for it, but perhaps, and it did not impact on interfaces there for some reason, which we were unsure of. Perhaps this is slightly different, but related in some fashion, and that's why it applies to both.
Okay.
I don't think that that's particularly relevant in any way at this point to anybody who would be picking it up unless when I said it, like basically you, Joe, who'd be on this, be like, oh, I wonder if that means, but you didn't. Therefore, I don't think that it's of much value, and I'm not going to comment as such on the actual issue.
Cool. Yeah, I'd be surprised if this particular issue was different, because I'm reading my comments on kind of like the troubleshooting of like what's going on. It's about like the order the passes run and how they affect the expressions. Reshuffling passes around is always tricky.
I remember I was looking at this, all this issues related to interfaces and default methods and everything. And it was very complicated to discern how we would go about to fix it, because there's a lot of passes that are interrelated. And they will need to be changed in order or something like that. Yeah, it doesn't look very easy.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, I wrote in my comment, you know, and this is 2017, in which I was talking about what the problem was, and I said, not sure off the top of my head what the best approach for a fix is, but that's the problem in brief. So one thing that I've done in the Mayor compiler that's relevant here is splitting the refer pass into an earlier refer type pass and then a later refer pass that that sweeps up everything that happens in refer type, and then also goes on to handle like referring to local variable names and such. So I think that could be a good approach here, is because we have to keep the refer pass as such, like happening after the traits pass where things get copied. But I think we could run the refer type pass, you know, after splitting it out, we could run a refer type pass prior to the traits pass, and then just make sure that refer would sweep up anything from the refer type pass and include it in its analysis that it attaches to the AST. So I think that would probably be the best approach. And also I like having passes be smaller because they're easier to understand. The bigger a pass is, the harder it is to understand how the different pieces of it interrelate. And so if there's anything that can be split off into separate passes, it's always nice to do so. Or I should say, it's usually nice to do so. So I think, yeah, adding a refer type pass that happens before the refer pass would be my suggestion about the best way to fix this. And I will add a comment saying that in the issue ticket. Anybody have any other thoughts while I'm awkwardly typing?
No.
Well, one thing that I was wondering the other day, thinking about this problem, is that if this causes a problem for safe packages, like if you have an interface with a default method that has an FFI call, will that be, and you try to restrict that that packets using the safe flag in the compiler. Is that FFI call like picked up on that packet or in your application if you try to like implement that interface?
That's a good question. It's a really good question. Where does that safe happen? Do you know off the top of your head where the safe enforcement happens?
No.
Do you know what that flag is called? Is it just dash dash safe?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because that would not be fixed by the suggestion that I gave. So that's interesting. Why aren't you? Code search could not process your request. Please try different search criteria. I'm looking for the dash dash safe in GitHub. There we go. I had to put it in quotes because it was confused by the dashes, I guess. I thought I was trying to have a special option there. Oh, but there doesn't have it there. So this is interesting. Okay, opt safe. That's what we got. So we have package as safe. And that happens in package.c, package as safe. Let's see. And we've got, okay, so we have the opt safe packages. It's a fun name for it because it's really unsafe packages. It's packages that are statically known or statically not known to be safe, but we're asserting are safe, so I suppose that's reasonable. But where is it used? Package.c. I'm having trouble figuring out how that is working. Interesting. So it says convert all the safe. I'm looking at package.c. line 778, it says convert all safe packages to their full path. So there's something about being a full path that marks it as being safe. That's weird. Well, I am confused about I'm confused about how the safe packages thing even works. So, Borja, if you could test that and then maybe, you know, show an example of like the error message you get when trying to use an unsafe package normally, that would help.
Pin down go ahead.
I'm just saying I'm not sure where in which pass we are enforcing that safety. But this, this one, you know, assuming that it's broken today, it might be easier to fix than the being able to use types imported, because I would think that the safe package check is much more decoupled from the rest of the compiler, and we could shift it around in the order of passes, hopefully as needed. Which would hope like be like kind of, you know, near the end is what I would expect, where I would expect most of that stuff that doesn't have an impact on the rest of compilation and is just part of the verification site. I would expect it to be near the end. If it's not near the end, we could probably move it near the end to solve that issue, because then it would be after the traits pass and everything's good. The type reference thing is just trickier because it is coupled in with everything that does like the local variable stuff. So it is, it's part of the same refer pass right now. We really would like it to be separate, or at least that's what I'm advocating for in my comment that I will finish typing now.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check the, if I can find an error for this.
Okay, comment typed, submitted, here we go. Moving on to Pony tutorial pull request 479. Let's see, 19 minutes ago, Jason approved it. And I have not looked in depth at this one because I saw that Ryan was reviewing it. It looks like Ryan is also approved. And the discussion here is about configuration issue. So Ryan was saying, if you find anything else, feel free to add it to the PR, but it looks like nothing else was found recently. So let's go ahead and merge.
I think it was an issue that the original submitter wanted to like look at the tutorial to see if he could, if he was able to find more typos or something like that to fix, but it's been a while. So maybe he can open another PR later.
Yeah. And, you know, it can just be on the same branch if that branch is still open, for example. But yeah, I think it makes sense given the time that has elapsed. 9 days is it's a reasonable lot of time.
Let's do it.
Let's merge it.
Do it.
Who's going to press it?
I will.
All right. I'll take up a comment saying,
I started a Pony C release, so I might as well merge this too.
All right. And I'm just going to add a comment saying, if you find anything else, feel free to open a new PR. Okay, there we go. Next is Pony tutorial pull request 472. This one's had quite a bit of back and forth. It looks like the most recent comments are changes requested from Ryan. And so there may not be much to discuss here unless other people want to talk about additional changes. But it seems that no action is necessarily needed by us. Okay, then let's see, we've got PonyLang mode issue 157. Character literals containing a single quotation mark throw off syntax highlighting. Apparently they do. And so it's a new ticket that has the bug and help wanted label on it, added the bug label added by Sean 17 days ago. That's the most recent activity here. There may not be much to discuss. Anyone who's listening who wants to help fix syntax highlighting, take a look at the ponylang/ponylang-mode repository in GitHub and have a look. All right. I think that's all we have on our agenda to discuss. Is there anything else that people want to raise?
Not at this time. Yep.
I wanted to mention that, Son, I was looking at the at Sulip the other day that you were looking for help with Coral. So I don't know if you have any, like, off the top of your head issues that you would want to help on, but I'm available to.
Anything you want to help with, you let me know, and I can point you at the particular thing. Corral has stuff. Pony Up has stuff. Pony Doc is early on and has stuff. Any of those, like, see if there's one in particular you'd be most interested in, and let me know, and we could chat more about it. I know Red was interested in, so there used to be the library starter thing, which was a Bash script which spit out a project in a format that at the time was good for stable and everything. And we had discussed adding this functionality to Corral. It hasn't been done yet. There's probably some stuff around needing some templating library or whatnot to actually make it happen. So it would be, that's a more involved project, figuring out some aspects of it. There might be non-involved ways to do it, or maybe not. Not entirely sure. Pony Up has plenty of things where it could use some love. I was making good progress on Pony Doc and then got stalled because I got a puppy, and between the puppy and, well, the puppy took up about 3/4 of the time when I was doing pony stuff, and then work got a little more busy and that took up the other 1/4 of the time. So that and the release bot action, which I'm almost done with the final update for, have both been stalled for a bit. But yeah, the two things that would be I could most use the help with would be Corral or Pony Doc, and you could decide which interests you more, and we could chat about them.
Okay. Yeah, I remember this because the other day I was trying to use Corral with a brand in a fork, and it was a bit tricky to make it work. Like, it wasn't obvious to me at first how to do it.
So I'm not sure what the problem was. So we should start with maybe a conversation just in the regular tooling channel that Corral is part of in Zulip for what the problem was that you ran into. And maybe it's a documentation issue, or maybe we need to open an issue for whatever the problem was, or maybe there already is an open issue. Okay. Like, in terms of deep Corral-ish issues, the one that I would really like to get fixed but involves a pony C change, it involves an RFC, and there's no agreement yet on how to go about doing it, is that based on how the pony path works and how pony is including dependencies where it's being managed in basically entirely right now in Corral, you can't use, say, version 1 and version 2 of the same library at the same time. In a program, Which means that if, let's say that you're using library A, right? And it uses version 1 of library C. And then you want to use library B, which uses version 2 of library C. You can't do that right now, even though that's an express stated goal of Pony. I believe right there somewhere in the Pony philosophy, but doesn't actually work right now. And that's one that requires some conversation for figuring out the best way to actually go about doing it. And then doing it. So that's the biggest, biggest one that around Corel stuff. And then there's lots of other large to small things for Corel, but that's I think the biggest one.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know how other packages and package managers do it, but it seems like an explicit person in his the way that they do it.
The Java approach is really awful. I'll state that one. Java's approach is really awful. It really depends. It's usually not just a package manager. It needs to be the language as well. Anything which is doing like the magic path type thing to find stuff, like Pony does, which where it has a, which is, the, and then, you know, probably doing something that either is whole program analysis, if it's a compiler or something equivalent, probably at least started with a problem similar to what Pony has at the moment.
If we're throwing out ideas, are we assuming that, so you mentioned, you know, you have two libraries which you use that each use different versions of a third library. Are we to assume that all three of those libraries, like for the purposes of solving this problem, are we to assume that all three of those libraries are Corel enabled? They have the Corel metadata attached to them?
I think that's a reasonable assumption to make, yes.
Yeah, so I, you know, one idea to consider and maybe try to flesh out more would be if we could construct not a single list of paths like Corel currently does, but if we could basically have a way to communicate to the Pony compiler, if you are within this path, then use this list of Pony paths. If you're compiling files within this path, then use this list of Pony paths instead. And then the dependency manager Corel could build up this kind of like tree of, okay, here's the dependencies for this package, here's the dependencies for this package, here's the dependencies for this package, and whatever symlink stuff going on. And then we have a tree where each package has a set of Pony paths for resolving its specific dependencies at their specific versions, where each, it's, you know, using a new option that's conveyed to Pony C in some new way that is nested in a way that the current Pony path mechanism is not. That's like the simplest way I can think of to solve the problem that is not too intrusive on Pony C. But of course, there might be ways to do this that are more intrusive on Pony C as well.
It is my suspicion that things that are less intrusive on Pony C are probably going to end up being more fragile or easy to break, but that's only a suspicion. That is not something that should guide anybody's decision for a way to, for things to suggest or anything. It's merely a suspicion that I have. And I think that, and the reason I raise it is because I think that we want to make sure that however we solve this, it should be robust. And if it turns out doing something like what you said, Joe, is robust and hard to break, and it's not very invasive, then that sounds like a great thing. That sounds like the ultimate combination right there. I'm worried that to get robust, we're going to have to be invasive. And not that invasive is necessarily bad in order to get that, but that it would require more work, and then that's less time that we can put towards other things as well.
Right. Yeah.
Another thing, speaking of Corel, I think we missed one issue in the repo, the release issue. I think that can be close, right?
In Corel? Oh, probably. Wait, sorry.
There is a release issue. Yeah, 179. I kind of skipped over it because I didn't think there was anything to talk about. But if we have something to talk about, then.
Oh, yeah. No, that was done. I did it 8 days ago. I forgot to close the issue.
Cool. Anything else that folks want to raise for discussion here?
I have a generic request for Corel, but I can drop that in the Zulip. It's just another similar additional.
We got 30 minutes.
Oh, all right.
Let's start here now, and you can drop it in the Zulip later.
Okay. I would love to see. So one of the things that really attracted me to Pony was the fact that you could mark packages as being considered safe. In order to defend against, you know, supply chain attacks and all that kind of fun stuff. So I would love to see a way for Corel to actually support, you know, using the --safe command line flag in some way, so that developers can basically mark packages that they trust to do CFFI and packages that they do not.
So I would say that this leads into an interesting conversation which we've had in various forums about Corel, right? In that, is this just a dependency manager, or does this become more than a dependency manager, right? I believe we had basically, for the most part, settled on we're quite okay with it becoming more, right? And that effectively, it starts to become more of a, not just the dependency management, but a build tool as well, kind of like in the same way that a cargo for Rust, right? It does dependency stuff, but also does build things as well. And I think that certainly would be part of, let's start moving build functionality into Corel, where right now all Corel does is it, for building, is it sets up the Pony path and then runs Pony C with all of its regular stuff in the same type environment, right? And the question would be is if more build functionality, like what we also talked about there for the first one before this as well, starts making its way into Corel, how much of this can exist just in Corel and how much of it needs to require changes to Pony C as well? Because when Pony C was envisioned, I think a lot of it was, a lot of the stuff where it does an awful lot of build related things was from Sylvan's frustration with C and C++, quote unquote, build tools where they're all over the place in terms of people using different things. But we still ended up there with Pony anyway, because it does a lot of good things, but there's still additional things that we'd want to do. So I think that being able to do something like that is very good, right? I don't know if that's a Corel thing or if that's a Pony C thing. I think that if you spent some time giving that some thought on what that would look like and how it would look so that it's robust and strong and everything, that would be a great thing to come back with some ideas that folks can kick around and poke at. Even if what you come back with is a straw man that you don't feel super great about.
To be honest with you, to almost kind of sort of walk that back, I tend to use make files for all of my build. And so honestly, I would love to see Corel just give me a flag which just exports the Pony path as well. I mean, so, you know, that's something else that would seem to be somewhat easy to do. I would fit more into my kind of development where I tend to do a lot of makefile driven development.
You don't even need Corel to do that then for you, because what it's doing is it's adding to the existing Pony path, whatever's already set, right? And it's including that Corel directory or whatever it's called, I can't remember, corral or repos, which is in the local directory where you're running PonySeq.
Oh, so it's right. Not so it's not actually, you know, slash, I think it's underscore corral slash. So it's not like yep. an individual one per package. It's literally just one path and then the package is a namespace directly under it.
Yep. And oh, wow. which is problematic for the thing that we talked about that Borja and I were talking about as well right now. Right.
Exactly. This is all it's all connected. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Because while that was not Carl's final vision for things, he did it because it would get us up to par with what Stable had, and then we could continue working on improving Corral. There's a if you're interested in if anybody's listening, if they're interested in working on Corral. It's far from complete, but there is a nice design document that Carl did that's part of the repo. And every time I think I found something where I'm like, oh, yes, right, we have this problem with Corral, I go read the design document, and 19 out of 20 times the thing is already in the design document for things that need to be addressed.
Yeah, regarding the... earlier mentioned, like, you know, safe packages thing, I am in agreement that that would be a great feature for basically, because I don't think the safe flag is used very much today as is. I could be wrong about that, but I think it would make it easier to use if, you know, people using Corral were operating in a mode where requiring, you know, safe for any FFI using packages was on by default. And so anytime they tried to add a dependency that needed CFFI and they didn't mark it in Corral as, you know, being allowed to do so, they would get a compile time error. And then they added in their Corral JSON. And then in the future, if any new dependencies suddenly have that need, that becomes a compile time error until somebody audits it and makes sure that they believe it to be safe. And so I think that would be a really good addition to dependency management, is this idea of being able to explicitly mark in your dependency specification when you allow it to do unsafe things and when you don't.
And to go back to a conversation that we had a while ago, Joe, during a sync, which not everybody might have been privy to, one of the things that we talked about in relation to safe as something that would be very nice, that I think that would be very nice that went along with this, is if as part of that marking for saying, hey, I can use this thing, which you can use this thing, which is doing FFI, is the ability from which we have from the Pony compiler. It knows what the different FFI calls are that would happen in this, to be able to generate at the time that we say yes to a particular version, right? For, hey, I want to let this do FFI, where it can dump out a thing which says, these are all the FFI calls that are being made, right? And should in the future that list of FFI calls change in a way which expands the list rather than contracting it, that you would have to then go through and somehow approve that again because it's not just, hey, I said that this can do any FFI again in the future, but I've looked at this, I've seen the FFI that it's doing, I'm okay with doing it. And should the list of FFI that it's doing change in the future, I will basically be stopped from building until I at least say, yes, okay, I'm good with this new list of FFI that's happening from this package.
That is an excellent point. I had completely forgotten about it, and I'm glad that you brought it up. Thank you. One other thing I'll add about conversation that has happened is regarding, like, you know, how much of this should be in Corral versus in PonyC versus, like what are the responsibilities of each? I'm kind of at a place, this may be different or the same, I'm not sure of where I used to be on this, but I'm kind of at a place where I think that in a perfect world, like PonyC would do it all, or we would have kind of like one tool that does it all. It's like, you know, clearly named as like, this is the Pony CLI tool. whether that way you call it Pony C or just Pony or whatever. That would be cool, I think, and I think that would be appropriate. The only thing that makes me shy away from that currently is the fact that the extra tools we have, like Pony Up and Corel. Well, Pony Up's a bit different. I'll leave that out of this. But the extra tools we have, like Corel, is written in Pony, and that's great. And I would love to keep that going on. So, I would love to move all of Corel's features into Pony C if Pony C were written in Pony. That's kind of where I'm at on that right now.
I would definitely agree with the, I would move it all in and Corel would quote unquote just be a library, right? Of functionality that could be used in Pony C if that were the case. One thing we might be able to do, going way back now, Joe, for conversations, right? Is the thing that had been discussed at a previous point in time where Pony C, the command, basically becomes a front end to a series of other commands in the same way that Git is. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that same thing too, as I was talking and, you know, like, I think in the past we talked about that. We talked about like having, you have like the Pony tool, which is a front end for Pony C and a front end for Corel and a front end for maybe something else, some other tool. Right. And then from there, yeah, you just run subcommands and it feels like you're using one tool, even if Corel is kind of a separate thing that's modular and isolated from Pony C in some ways.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else people want to discuss about Corel's relationship to Pony C or any of the other points on that? Cool. Well, I'll mention that in the last sync call, I believe it was the last one, I was kind of noodling a bit about stack allocated pass by value types. I took a pass at doing that in the Mare compiler. And so far the results of that experimentation have been encouraging. I like the way it feels in general, just to kind of like recapitulate and I guess maybe further specify like the semantics of what that means. What I basically ended up implementing in at least this passive experimentation was you can think of it as it has basically the semantics of a tuple or a tuple, depending on, I don't know what the right pronunciation is, but I say tuple. It has basically the same semantics as a tuple, but the elements are named instead of being numbered and they're declared like fields, and the type is the type can have methods on it, right? So it's like a concrete type that can have methods on it, like a tuple can, or sorry, like a tuple cannot. And so what that looks like is you have a type that you've defined as this, you know, pass by value stack allocated type, and you can only put let fields on it. And no var fields. I know we talked in the previous discussion we had on the sync call about the possibility of it might still be kind of okay if you're in a fun ISO to rebind a field. But for simplicity, I kind of stuck to keeping it just like a tuple, and like maybe not dealing with potential like pitfalls of things I didn't think of. And so for now, like what I've done is, yeah, it's just like a tuple in that to create if you want to change the value of one of its elements, you have to create a new instance of it that has the different value in that particular field. And so I'm going to continue experimenting with that and see if I run into any gotchas or pitfalls, but that's just kind of like the status of that discussion.
Cool. I think it would make a great addition to the Linux.
Yeah. One thing to mention in terms of ergonomics of it is that like chaining becomes maybe more important. Like if you want to if you want to do operations that are sort of conceptually doing mutations of the tuples field, and I really hesitate to use the word mutation because you're still allowed to mutate within a field, right? Like if you have a tuple that holds a you know, two elements, one of them is a foul, one of them is a ref, you can mutate the ref, but you can't rebind it within the same tuple. You create a new tuple with a new rebound value. And so if you want to do anything that like field rebinding, you kind of like it seems like the pattern is to return return a new instance at the end of a method call that would normally be fun ref. Instead you make it, you know, fun box, and you have to make it fun ref because fun box would have the viewpoint adapted type of everything, and that may not be adequate to construct a new one. So you usually make that a fun ref, but the ref can't actually rebind any fields, and so it has to like return a new version of itself, and then you can use that for chained operations with dot, but not the dot arrow that we use for chaining where we forward on the receiver from the previous call, because that would be the old tuple. And so there's still some potential gotchas there about, like, I don't know, it would need some design patterns kind of around it, like when do you use this, and you know, should I make a fun ref? Should I make a fun box? Like, those are kind of interesting questions to answer and come up with some conventions around. You know, the when should I use this thing is definitely interesting because, you know, this is definitely a good tool for removing heap allocations from certain code paths that you might have, where people have previously either just suffered the heap allocations or reached for tuples and have to reorganize a bunch of other stuff. Like, this may be a smaller lift to get that kind of improvement. I'm not sure whether it would be good to advocate its use more generally. Like, if you're a library and you want to avoid, enforcing heap allocations on your callers, then you might kind of opt towards struct for some stuff that, I don't know. Yeah, there's some criteria about when struct might be a, I'm saying struct, aren't I? I need to clarify that and say this is not the same as Pony struct. It needs a different name that is not struct, and I've been thinking of it as struct in my head. But yeah, because we have a different thing in Pony that's already struct that's not stack allocated. That was rambling, but yeah, we need to experiment some more and come up with some like best practices and make sure it's actually useful and that sort of thing. But on its face, I'm excited about it.
Cool.
Okay, that's all I had for that. Last call for other discussion topics.
Just briefly, I'll mention we have another Pony Vug coming up in approximately 2 weeks.
Who's doing the talking?
Matthias is.
What's he talking about?
Currently under discussion, but I believe it may be the difference in, you know what, I'm not going to speak for him, but it is, I'm not going to speak for him directly, but it involves some of the differences between the way that Rust's system and Pony system deal with all of the fun concurrency stuff, data races, etc.
Cool. And I know that they will be good in good hands with him and won't be a flame baity mess. Awesome. No, I'm serious. I think it's a thing that people ask about a lot, right? But you know, most of the time when something like that gets done by somebody, it's a flame baity mess whenever they do a this compared to that, you know. Like thoughtful this compared to that things can be very helpful for people who know one or the other to help them get a foothold in the other. But, you know, if it's flame baity, then it's not really actually helpful for that.
Yeah, and we have no intention to flame bait the Rust community because we love the Rust community. The Rust community is great. Just for the record, yes. I say that totally sincerely.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. From the way that I'm looking at it, it just looks like they serve two very different use cases. So
yeah, it's one of those things where it actually, as you come in at it like, okay, these are different languages, and you learn a little bit about each, and it's like, okay, these are actually pretty similar. And then you learn more, and it's like, oh, they actually diverge quite a bit.
Yep. And it's the why that I do, the why they diverge that I think I find most interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested to catch his hop. I'm sure that'll be cool.
Totally.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for attending or listening to us babble on in the past when you are in the future. And so, yeah, goodbye everyone in the present and in the future.